Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Richard Painter is the former chief ethics attorney for President George W. Bush. He's now a law professor at the University of Minnesota, and he's been writing about his concerns on Donald Trump's conflicts of interest. He joins me in the studio. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Well, thank you, Carrie.
You believe that these conflicts that the president-elect is enmeshed in are so serious that they could be disqualifying to the electors that are going to meet on December 19th. Do you still believe that, or have some of your concerns been allayed?
One set of conflicts, I think, rises to a constitutional proportion at this point in time, and that is the conflicts arising out of money from foreign governments and companies controlled by foreign governments into the Trump Organization. I do think that President-elect Trump does need to make sure that there's no money coming to any company owned by him from a foreign government or a corporation controlled by a foreign government. That would be in violation of the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, which prohibits such payments from foreign governments to U.S. government officials. And I do think that he should give the electors more assurances that those payments will be gone by January 20, that he will no longer own those companies receiving the foreign government's payments by January 20, and that the electors would have to consider it in their vote if they were unable to get that assurance. But that is the only one of the many conflicts of interest that I think at this point rises to a constitutional proportion that would have to be addressed immediately in order for him to take office consistent with the Constitution.
Let me focus. As you say, there are numbers of conflicts that you're concerned about. Let me focus for a minute just on this one specific one, and let's create a scenario. He owns hotels with companies in foreign countries like the Philippines and in China. He is putting his business concerns into the hands of his children. Would it be still disqualifying to you if those partnerships that he had already formed in these foreign countries were maintained, but the money was coming into a company now run by his children? Would that make a difference to you or not?
It doesn't really make a difference who runs the company.
Why?
What makes a difference is who owns it. Because when money comes into the company, if he owns the company, then he is enriched by the money that comes into the company. But once again, for purposes of the United States Constitution and the Emoluments Clause, we're only talking about money coming in from foreign governments and companies controlled by foreign governments. The other private money creates a lot of conflicts of interest that are conflicts that we should worry about, but those are not conflicts of a constitutional proportion.
But some of these corporations in a country like China have state backing, don't they? And there are not the clear lines that there are here in this country. So how do you untangle that?
Absolutely. That is a big concern. And that's why I think the cleanest, the best solution is for President-elect Trump to sell off his interests in the various Trump business organizations that he owns, either through an initial public offering, a sale to private parties, or perhaps some of the properties being sold or given to his own children. But he should not own these businesses while he's president of the United States if they're going to create serious conflicts of interest. And he certainly shouldn't own them if there's going to be any foreign government money or money from corporations controlled by foreign governments flowing into those business enterprises. That could create a constitutional crisis. And that is what we want to avoid now so we don't have to face it in an impeachment hearing later.
We've all been reading suddenly about the Emoluments Clause. It's got kind of an unusual name to it. What does it say?
It basically says that a person holding a position of trust with the United States government should not receive titles of nobility or other titles from foreign governments, gifts from governments, or emoluments from other governments. Emolumentum is the Latin phrase for profit, and I think that the Emoluments Clause properly interpreted would bar persons holding positions of trust with the U.S. government from profiteering through business transactions with foreign governments. The upshot here is that the founders did not want foreign governments, whether it be France, England, or any other foreign government, trying to pay off U.S. government officials through titles of nobility, gifts, or profitable business transactions. We had fought the revolution for our own independence, and this corruption by foreign governments could easily become a vehicle for domination once again of the United States by foreign powers.
I'm talking with Richard Painter. He's the former chief ethics attorney for President George W. Bush, and he's now a law professor at the University of Minnesota, and he is our voice, the opinion and commentary segment today. Many of the voters who supported Donald Trump knew he was a business tycoon, knew that he owned a lot of companies. They don't have probably the depth of knowledge that you have about conflicts of interest, but I assume some of them took that into account and were not as alarmed by it as you apparently are. What should we say about that?
Well, I think that they believed, as I still believe, that Donald Trump as president will do what he needs to do to be a good president and to avoid conflicts of interest. And I believe the voters relied on him if he won to address these issues so he would not only comply with the Constitution, but have an administration free of conflicts of interest. Every other president has avoided financial conflicts of interest themselves, just as their staff and others in the executive branch are legally required to avoid financial conflicts of interest. And so I think the voters depended on Mr. Trump to do this. A lot of the discussion leading up to the election, of course, was about alleged conflicts of interest involving Secretary Hillary Clinton, whether it be the Clinton Foundation or the spat over her email. There were issues there as well. But we perhaps did not have enough of the discussion of these conflicts of interest of Mr. Trump as perhaps we should have. But once again, I think voters are depending upon him to do the right thing, separate himself out from these businesses so he can be a good president.
In one answer, you seem to be optimistic that he will address these concerns. In another answer, you brought up the word impeachment, and you essentially said if he doesn't sell off his business concerns, which he's given no indication that he's going to do, he might be heading for an impeachment hearing in Congress. I'm trying to understand just how concerned you are about this.
Well, he takes that risk. There's nothing illegal about his not selling off his businesses, but there would be a violation of the Constitution if foreign government money were to come into those businesses. So that's the first problem. Another problem is what we're going to do about these buildings with the Trump name on them all over the world. What are we going to do to protect those buildings? What are foreign governments going to do to protect those buildings? Trying to avoid a tragedy that could easily come up when you put the name of the President of the United States on a building in a country with a high risk of terrorism. Another set of problems involves the people working for President Trump in the executive branch and others who are working in the Trump organization. If he keeps control of these businesses, you could have situations where people combine Trump organization business discussion with U.S. government business discussion.
Haven't you already seen indications of that?
Unfortunately, there have been some conversations where, for example, a member of the European Parliament calls up President-elect Trump on presumably official business, and there are questions that come up about what we're going to do about the ugly windmills that are too close to his golf courses in Scotland. And these are the types of conversations, mixing Trump business and official U.S. government business, that if they occur when he is president, regardless of who engages in those conversations, there could be allegations of a solicitation of a bribe on behalf of the President of the United States, and that could lead to criminal investigations and really an awful mess that we do want to avoid. And the easiest way to avoid it is for him to sell off his business interests so he doesn't have to worry about what various people working for these businesses are saying all over the world about various favors they might try to deliver from the United States government. They could lead to bribery investigations.
Professor, I want to ask you this. Having been the chief ethics attorney for President George W. Bush, do presidents have a certain amount of license as to how closely they're going to listen to the person that serves in the job that you had? I mean, can they meet often with you and take the advice that you give very seriously? And can presidents also decide that they're going to get, you know, your advice, and then they're pretty much going to do what they like as long as it isn't illegal.
Well, I've advised a lot of clients as a lawyer over the years, including investment banks and political leaders and others working in the government. And clients sometimes want to take your advice and sometimes they don't. Ultimately, these decisions are decisions that are made by the client, here made by the president of the United States. But if a president chooses the riskier course of action, which here I believe would be retaining ownership interests in these buildings, then the president is going to have to deal with those risks or face the potential consequences if something goes wrong.
But this is what I'm asking you, does the amount of the power that's invested in the person that did the job that you did really lie in how closely the president wants to interact with that person?
Well, yes, but the president can also work through other lawyers in the White House counsel's office and interact that way, not to have discussions directly with the ethics lawyer. I often spoke with Harriet Myers, who then spoke with President Bush. Occasionally, I would speak with President Bush directly about my concerns on something. But different presidents are going to do it differently. President Clinton liked to talk to lots of lawyers and get different opinions from lawyers. I don't know how President Trump will handle this. But at the end of the day, it's critically important for presidents and other leaders to talk to lawyers, get advice, and then make decisions and be willing to accept responsibility for those decisions, because ultimately those decisions are those of the client. Here, that's the president of the United States.
Law professor Richard Painter of the University of Minnesota. He served as chief ethics attorney for President George W. Bush, commenting on some of the conflict issues that President-elect Donald Trump is confronting. Thank you. Good to have you here.
Well, thank you very much, Gary.